So this morning we're going to carry on from where we stopped the last time. We're looking at a series called Jesus Asked the Question, Who Do You Say That I Am? And we've looked at two installments of that. So today we're looking at the third installment. And for the first two installments, I mentioned that your answer to that question would really determine how far you go with Christ in terms of the depth of your relationship and in terms of the things that you can achieve with him. The answer to that question, who do you say Jesus is, would really determine how far you go with him and the depth of your relationship and the depth of my relationship with Christ. And we said it's not just something that you can just say, okay, I'm this way with Jesus. I love Jesus, which we know you do. And I am committed to him. I said, that's good. But it is your life and the choices that you make that will really answer that question, not what you profess most of the time. And we looked at the first individual. The Bible describes him as a very wealthy young man. And the Bible says he rushed to Jesus. He was so enthusiastic. And Jesus, the Bible says, loved this man, and he asked him a few questions. Do you obey the commandments? And he said, since I was young, I've always obeyed. So this man was so enthusiastic about Christ. He rushed to Christ. But there was something in his heart that Jesus wanted to highlight to him. And when Jesus highlighted that thing to him, he just turned back and he stopped following Jesus. Now, we went to the second set of people. And we said that for this set of people, they viewed Jesus as a provider. So what that meant was, as long as Jesus answered their prayers, as long as everything was the way they expected, they loved the worship services, they loved the songs that we sing in church, as long as you don't give any opinion that is contrary to what they want, then you're fine. Jesus presented these guys as well with what was in their hearts. And they also turned away from Christ. And what I mentioned was that the interesting thing was that Jesus did not go after these people when they left. And you'll have been wondering, why didn't Jesus at least call them back and say, okay, don't worry, we'll try and make things work. Jesus did not do that. And for me, that was really troubling. How can Jesus just allow these people to go like that? But I made a point after I really thought about the context of this. I now realize that it is really difficult for Christ to deal with someone or change someone whose mind is not really in tune with him. That means someone who does not really prioritize Christ. So Jesus left them. Do you understand what I mean? So that's where we stopped in the first two installments. Now, today we're looking at another man, and we're looking at the third view of this. So the series we're looking at is Jesus asked them, who do you say that I am? Who do you say I am? And like I mentioned, the answer to that question will really determine how far we go with Christ or the depth of our relationship with Christ. Do you understand? So today we're looking at the third man or the third view of that answer. And we're looking at the life of a man called Peter, the same famous Peter that walked on water. And I'll read a number of points here. So that's what we're looking at today. So let me read again, Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 15. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 15. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he said, who do you say that I am? And if you go to verse 16 of that same Matthew chapter 16, Peter answers, and Peter said to him, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So the other two people that we looked at, one of them looked at Jesus as just a teacher. The other one looked at Jesus as, or the other group of people looked at Jesus as a provider. But we see a third view here where Peter looks at Jesus as the Messiah. He looks at Jesus as his Lord. Do you understand? He looks at Jesus as his Lord in this instance. So I'm going to make a number of points about this man this morning. But before we carry on, I just did a Google search about the meaning of that word Lord so that we have full context. We might know what Lord means already, but I thought, let me just Google it and explain it to us again. So it says here, what is Lord, that word? A ruler to whom service and obedience is due. A ruler to whom service and obedience is due. One having power and authority over others. Now, the other thing that occurred to me is that with this word Lord, I think it's almost like a politically incorrect word. So if I came to you and I said, "Hey, I'm your Lord," you'd be like, "Hang on, what are you talking about? This is the 20th century. We're not in the dark ages." So when you say someone is your Lord, or someone says, "I'm Lord over you," it's like, "Hang on. I mean, what do you mean by that? I'm my own individual. You cannot be Lord over me. This is not the Stone Ages." But the truth of the matter is this. Peter saw Jesus as his Lord. And this is really significant in what I'm about to explain in the next few minutes here. Jesus overlooked a number of things that Peter did. Things that you could almost count to be unforgivable. He overlooked a lot of these things in the life of Peter. Why? Because Peter saw him as Lord. Peter saw him as Lord. So why is that so key in what we're talking about today? I'll just highlight a number of points. But before we go there, so the first thing we see here is that Peter viewed Jesus as Lord. And because of that, Jesus could actually help him and deal, you know, with all the faults that he had. So the second point is this. Let's look at some of the things that Peter did here compared with the other people that Jesus didn't go after. Now, if you look at, I'm just going to refer to it. If you look at Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 to 75, in that portion of scripture, Jesus is about to go to the cross and he tells all the disciples that, "I'm going to the cross, I'm going to be killed." And Peter comes up and says, "Hang on, never. I can never deny you. All these guys here, irrespective of what happens, I will be with you." So can you imagine now, right? As we're sat down here, I now begin to tell you, by the way, this is just an analogy. I now tell you guys that, guys, church, I got a death threat this morning as I was about to leave the house. Some people sent me a text and they said, "Pastor Benson, if you dare show up at the Fishponds place today, you're gone." And I've ignored it. And I tell you guys now, man, this is what happened to me this morning. I got some death threat. Someone sent me a text and they said, "If I turn up and preach here this morning, I'm gone." What would you guys say? What would you say? I'm sure a lot of you would say, "Pastor Benson, don't worry, we're with you. Anything that happens to you, we're going down with you. We've got your back." Some of you are smiling. Isn't that what you would say? "We've got your back, Pastor Benson. We're going to go down together. Anything that happens, we're here." And as I'm speaking now, we now have like five masked men with AK-47s. They just rush in here and they say, "Nobody move here. This place is surrounded. It's only Pastor Benson we want." Masked men. And they shoot into the sky. And they say, "We don't want any trouble here. It's only Pastor Benson we're here for. Leave immediately. We're giving everybody 5 seconds to leave the room. Pastor Benson, don't move. Anyone that stays beyond 5 seconds after a warning, you're going down. What would you guys do? Would you stay with me? Prince, they're laughing. I asked them a question. I said, would you stay here? You guys are laughing. Would you stay here? So Peter said, you know what? Never. I will go down with you. And what happened? They came to arrest Jesus. And as everything began to happen, everybody ran away. Everybody ran away. So they left Pastor Benson in church here by himself. But I know you guys would never do that to me. Everybody ran away. And that wasn't enough. So imagine that. Who can I call here? Maybe Brother O, just as a joke here. Everybody has run away. Then Brother O goes to Lidl over there. And he sees a lot of masked men around. And he's like, what's happening here? And he's like, oh, thank God I escaped. We'll be praying for Pastor Benson from here. And he now goes and says, oh, let me get a drink. Oh, man, this is so, let me get a Fanta or something. And he goes to the cashier. He picks up the Coke or Fanta. And he goes to the cashier to pay. And the cashier says, hang on, there are masked men around, you know, AK-47. And he says, hang on, bro, oh, don't you go to that church down the road? Not you, by the way, I'm just using. Don't you go to that church down the road there, that one. And he goes, which church? I don't know what church you're talking about here. Church. And he goes, and he says, oh, he now goes to, what's the name of that other shop down the road? Oh, I need bread. Second time. He goes there, and the man there, who's the shop seller, says, oi, I recognize you, mate. You're the one that goes to that church down the road, right? He's like, no, mate, you're talking to the wrong person, mate. I don't know what church you're talking about. And then the third time, he now comes to this place here, just this pub in front of the church. And he's like, oh, man, it's been a long day. Everybody's trying to get Pastor Benson. I escaped two of these men. And as he's walking down, the guy from the pub now comes out and says, hi, I saw you. You attend that church. I see you there every Sunday. Not him, though. And this guy begins to swear. Says all the, Googles all the hardest swear words and begins to swear. Pastor Benson, never. That man, who is he? I don't even, what are you talking about? And as he's doing that, not you, by the way, I'm just using an example. These masked men have chained me and I'm walking down there. They're escorting me into the car and I look at Bro O and our eyes meet. How do you think he would feel? Finished. So Peter really disappointed Christ. The Bible says that their eyes crossed and he began to cry, like, my goodness, what have I done? And they go and they crucify Christ. This same Peter, when they came to arrest Jesus, brought out a sword and cut somebody's ear off. Can you imagine as we're here now, after service, anyway, I'm sure this won't happen here. After service, someone's having an argument down there. They're like, oh, can I have coffee there, please? And you're like, oh, that's the last sachet. I'll just say bro, because, you know, that. And he says, hang on. I got here first to this table. There's a last sachet of coffee there. Can I have that, please? And someone else says, sorry, no, I got here first. And Bro O goes to the kitchen there and draws out a knife and comes back here and cuts the person's ear off. What would you think of that kind of person? you'd be like, man, I'm not coming to this church again if that's what they're doing in this church. So why am I taking time to explain all this? This was what Peter did to Christ. This was what Peter did to Christ. Now, when you compare what I've described to what the other two people did to Christ, they did nothing. One of them just said, look, Christ, your teaching is too hard. Bye-bye, I'm not coming to this church again. The other person said, well, I can't give up my wealth. Christ, I will see you later. But we see that in this story, Jesus ignores the first two and he goes after the man who betrayed him, who was violent. He went after that man. Now, why did Jesus do that? Why did Jesus do that? Because I believe Jesus understood something that we need to understand as well. Jesus understood that no matter how bad a person is, in quote, no matter how much a person has done, as long as that person sees Christ as their Lord, he can still help them. He can still help them. So if you look at, so that's the third point, Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. God says that I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. So Jesus realized, he realized something. Jesus knows that for the individual who sees him as Lord, he can mold that person's character. He can help that individual to overcome whatever challenges that they're having. But that person has to see him as Lord. Not as a mere teacher, or not just as someone who just provides for him. Do you understand? So, that's the second point. That Jesus went after this man the same way he will go after you and I, if we come to the place where we see him as Lord and not just as a teacher or not just as someone who provides for us. Because that way, he can really touch our hearts and help us. Do you understand? So the third and the last point I want to make this morning is this. When I say we view Jesus as Lord, what does that mean in real life? What does that really mean in our everyday life? Am I saying that when Jesus says, hey, climb that place and jump down, we say, yes, sir, yes, sir? Not really. I believe that these are the characteristics that Peter had and the characteristics that we can also imbibe so that no matter where we are in our walk with Christ, he will still help us and go after us and bring us back into the way every time we stray or any time that we're not going according to what he has planned for us. So what does it mean to see Jesus as Lord in our lives? I've got three things that I see in the life of Peter here. Three things. And they're really simple everyday things. They're not things that are out there, so to speak. So the first thing I see in the life of Peter, in the context of him seeing Christ as Lord, is this. He really loved Jesus. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, it says there, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Peter really loved Jesus. There's something that I say quite often, well, that I say once in a while. The thing that will help you and I in our walk with God is not our obligation to God, but our love for God. What do I mean by that? You see a guy, right, who is, maybe he loves a girl, he's seen someone that he really likes. And the girl lives quite far away, all right? I don't know, you live in Bristol, maybe she lives in London or whatever. Because this guy loves this girl and he wants to, I don't know, maybe he wants to marry her. For a lot of the guys that I know, or I've come across, if the girl says jump, they will jump. If it means almost walking to London from Bristol to see the girl, they will do this, they will do it. And the girl will be like, oh, you said you were going to arrive at 7 p.m. It's now 8. Why are you late? And he's like, man, there was so much traffic. My car broke down, but I knew I had to see you. I left the car that broke down. I jumped on the train at Euston. As I was going on the train, the signals had failed, so the trains couldn't get to London. I now took the next bus, and the bus got stuck in traffic, and I'm now here after walking 5 miles. All right? And she's like, you did all that for me? And the guy goes, no problem. No big deal at all. That's what love does. When you love someone, really, you will do anything for them. You do anything for them, rather than if you're just obligated to them. Do you understand? So if you're obligated to something, to someone, and it's like, well, yeah, I said I'll come out five, you know, or let's even say you're someone's husband. Yeah, I'll provide lunch money and all that, and that's all I'm obligated to you to do in this family. That will get you so far. But if you really love someone, then you go the extra mile. You'd want to please them. You'd want to do everything that will make them happy. Do you understand? So if anyone is obligated to Christ and is like, well, I have to go to church on Sunday, otherwise Pastor Benson might text me and say, I hope you're okay. I don't feel like even doing any of that. If you're obligated to Christ. But Peter wasn't just obligated to Christ. He loved Christ. He loved Christ. The next thing we see about Peter is this. In terms of Jesus being his Lord, apart from loving Christ, he also subjected his views to Christ. If you look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, it says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So, we see a situation here where Peter subjected all his views to Christ, even if he didn't really understand what Christ was talking about, or even if it went against everything that he really wanted to do. He allowed the views of Christ to take priority. Do you get what I mean? He allowed the views of Christ to take priority in his life. And the third thing we see here as well, in terms of Peter viewing Christ as Lord, was that he prioritized Christ in his life. If you look at Luke chapter 14, verse 26, it says, if anyone comes after me and does not hate his father, mother, wife, and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. Now, is Jesus literally saying we should hate our parents? No, because he's the one that says we should honor our parents. So Jesus isn't saying, hate everybody except me. He's just using this analogy to say, look, if you're really going to be able to follow Christ, you have to prioritize him above everything in your life, which is quite difficult to do. So we see these things in the life of Peter here. We see a man who loves Christ. We see a man who subjects all his views, all his opinions to Christ. And we also see a man who prioritizes Christ above everything in his life. And when Jesus went back to Peter, after Peter had denied him, after Peter had been violent, cut somebody's ears off, there was one question that Jesus asked him. And the question that Jesus asked him was, "Do you love me?" Jesus didn't tell him off and say, "Hey, you're the one that denied me at Tesco's. You're the one that cut that man's ear off." Jesus knew that, look, he could deal with that. The only question he asked Peter was, "Do you love me?" Because Jesus knows that if we truly love him and he's Lord of our lives, then he can deal with anything that comes across our way. Do you get what I mean? So this morning I'm going to end there. So what am I looking at today? So the question I have for us this morning is this, which was the question that I had the last time. Who is Jesus to you? Is Jesus just a teacher? Do you understand? Is Jesus just a teacher? Someone that, well, if the sermon is good, you accept it, but that's where it ends. Or is Jesus just your provider? Someone that answers your prayers? Someone that, when you're in need, he helps you, which he does. But if Jesus is going to say anything that is contrary to your views, stop there, Jesus. I'm not going to go, don't go any further. If you're talking about this part of my life, I can agree with you there. If you're going to talk about something else, forget it. I'm not interested. Or is Jesus your Lord? Because if Jesus is your Lord, then he'll be able to take you really far with him. So this morning, I'd just like us to rise and just to pray. And really this morning, what we just want to pray about is a personal prayer. And the prayer is that, look, we want to really follow Jesus. We don't want our lives just to be mechanical. We don't want it to be, well, I've ticked the box this Sunday, I have attended a church service. We want to have a real encounter with Christ so that we can experience everything that Christ has spoken about in the Bible in our lives. But to do that, I believe that we have to prioritize Christ in our lives. We have to see him as Lord. So let's just take time out this morning and just pray. And just ask God to really help us. That God, help me to see you as Lord in my life. These are the areas that I'm struggling with. These are the challenges that I'm having. Help me in this area. Help me in this area.